Welcome to the City Life Lansing podcast. You are loved, you belong, and you have a unique purpose from God. You can connect with us at citylifelansing.com. You belong here. Here's today's message.
Psalm 1. How happy is the one who does not walk in the advice of the wicked, or stand in the pathway with sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. He is like a tree planted beside flowing streams that bears its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. The wicked are not like this. Instead, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand up in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to ruin.
You know, I don't think I can do this ministry thing anymore. It's not working. Remember I said that phrase about 6 years ago running through my mind? I was sitting on my bed, and this was pre-pandemic, and it's like 11 o'clock at night, and I was like trying to read my Bible, and I was reading the same passage like five times and didn't know what on earth it was saying. And it's because in the back of my mind I had some anxious thoughts running, and a coworker of mine had offered to help me, and I'd snapped on her and said something that was to her, but it felt like I was talking to somebody else. And I couldn't seem to figure out why I was so anxious. It was kind of weird. I was working another job at the time, and things were going well. I was taken care of. All my needs were good, and City Life was winning, y'all. People getting saved. The team was growing. It was an amazing time to be a part of the church. And yet, somehow on the inside, Devin wasn't winning. Not only did I have anxious thoughts running through my brain, but I started to notice, similar to that moment, that I was snappy and defensive and sensitive. My emotions were kind of all out of whack. And it was weird because I was listening to more sermons and reading as many books as I possibly could, trying to solve this low-grade anxiety and depression inside of me. And despite all the external wins in my life, I began to say to myself, I'm miserable. And disappointed. This isn't working. And I was confused because for me, I thought the way to change was to simply get more information inside of me and then snap, I'd be fixed. Do more of the Jesus stuff. And what was really also funny about this season of my life is I wasn't sleeping a ton, and I don't even have kids, so it's not like, you know, a one-year-old was keeping me up. I'm a single guy and was 23 at the time, and I'm drinking 3 cups of coffee a day, staying up till 1 in the morning, and then waking up at 10 a.m., and I was supposed to be up at 6 a.m. doing your cold plunge. Just kidding, any of you. Man, you guys are warriors if you do that. Not there yet. My roommates are really trying to get me to try it soon, maybe. But the more stuff I did, the less satisfied I felt. The more I gripped tightly onto my life to control my outcomes and my destiny, the more it slipped through my fingers. And it was a weird moment. It was weird because I thought, Jesus, I'm in the middle of a move of God, experiencing your goodness all around me. It seems everyone else is getting to taste and see, and yet somehow on the inside, I'm a mess. I believe this truth, and yet I'm not tasting it. I'm not seeing it. I'm not experiencing it. So I sat on my bed, and I thought, is this really the life to the full Jesus had on offer? Just kind of slow grind, day after day. Is that really it? Or did he have something else? Am I a new creation? Am I a victor in Christ? And if that's the case, why don't I feel like it? And how can I become one? Maybe you feel like that today. I'm just here to encourage you this morning. My name is Devin, and I have the privilege to be here with you all and get to be ordained as a minister with Ashton Lorian last week. But I'll be honest, the journey to this moment and being together as a family, being a Christian, is not a straight line sometimes. And maybe you feel that way today. Maybe you're sitting here wondering, man, I hear about the promises of Jesus, and yet somehow I don't fully know how to taste it yet. But I see other people experiencing it, and I want some of that. And you're asking the question, how? How do I get there? Is there a better way? And the answer, good news, friends, is yes. John 14:6, Jesus says this. Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You've heard us say it before that the Jesus way is based on the Jesus truth and leads to the Jesus kind of life. Sometimes it's very easy to put Jesus in a box because he's not walking around today on earth. And we say, all right, if I just read some of his words and I memorize them, it will change me. But I think what Jesus is really inviting us into is to join him in reality. Jesus wants you and I to experience God's presence. But the way we do that is, one, by believing Jesus' truth, but two, living the Jesus life. And we're going to break some of that down today. What does that look like? But part of it is we can learn what Jesus believed, not just by what he taught, but how he lived. If you're familiar, we've been in the B series, and one of the influences in our life is here, the life of City Life, is John Mark Comer. He recently launched a book called Practicing the Way, which is organized around three goals. What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? It means, one, to be with Jesus, what we've been talking about, practicing the presence of God, abiding. The second goal of any disciple is to become like Jesus, to have his character and his nature. And then lastly, it's to do what Jesus did. To heal the sick, to prophesy, to pray, do justice in the world. And so we're going to be working through some of the framework today of what Comer talks about in this book, Become Like Jesus, but I have a present for you guys. We're giving these two away. So first two hands up, who would like a book? Not the twins. They're always the first ones. Their dad's the pastor. Who else? Right here. Got you. We're also selling those books out at the Connect Center. They're $20. We're not trying to make money on them, but there's about 20 copies out there, so you can grab one of those. But yeah, read the book. It's kind of a deep dive into some of the topics today, but we're going to be focusing on become like Jesus. So what does that even mean to become like Jesus? Well, Jesus often had this title called the second Adam or the Son of Man, which is a reference to him being Messiah, but it's also a reference to him being human like you and I. Jesus is the prototype for what a human being fully alive looks like. What's possible? What's possible for a human being fully connected to God in his presence? What joy is available? That's what Jesus came to offer. And I'm so grateful he came as a human being because I need examples, y'all. I like videos. I like watching things. And Jesus came as a physical example of what it means to be a human being fully alive. One of my favorite things about Jesus, one thing that I think he embodied more than anything else is Jesus was free. Free. That's right. Free in three ways I want to highlight right now. One, Jesus was free from the culture around him. Do another miracle, Jesus. Dance for us. And he didn't. Jesus knew what his assignment was. Jesus was free from his closest family and friends. Restore the kingdom now by violence. Take it by force. He was free. But Jesus was also free from the internal pressures and compulsions of sin. He defeated the devil in the desert to go about getting his desires his own way, not God's way. See, Jesus was tempted as we are and yet did not sin. And just to free someone today, temptation is not sin. Jesus was tempted. But Jesus was free from the culture, from his relationships, and from sin. John 15 puts it like this. Jesus gave them, we can jump over. Oh, it says 5, you're right. My bad, that's type 1, my fault. It's actually John 15. It might be John 5, I don't know, my notes say John 15. That's awesome. This is great, 10 a.m. service, we're gonna change it for the next one. Don't you worry. Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these so that you will be amazed. I think we need a redefinition of freedom. You and I live in a culture where freedom says, I get to do whatever my strongest desires say. Whatever I feel, that's my most authentic self. And because I feel it, I'm gonna do it. And anyone that tells me otherwise, oppressive. You're not letting me be myself. And yet Jesus' definition is not the freedom to do whatever I want, it's the freedom from the compulsions that are set against love. It is the freedom from our culture and our relationships and our desires that do not reflect the heart and the character of God. We need a redefinition of freedom. Not freedom to do what I want, but freedom from. That we might look like Jesus, that we might walk the kingdom out, that we might embody God's character in our culture, in our relationships, and behind the scenes, integrity by ourselves in the moments where it's hard and our desires are screaming at us. And it's hard to get out of bed. Paul puts it like this in Romans 6. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. Saying, I'm gonna just do whatever I feel, is actually a form of slavery. It's not freedom, even though our culture would tell us that. To say, I'm gonna do whatever I feel, but oftentimes, our culture doesn't talk about the consequences behind the scenes. Come what may, be you. Follow your heart. And here's the thing, desires are not bad. God gave you desires. What God wants to do is help us reorder our desires. So C.S. Lewis and some other great thinkers have said that we live in an age of disordered desires. They're not prioritized well. Desires for wealth or sex or relationships or influence, those are all good things. God gave us our desires, and yet the sin and the enemy would like to twist those things and reprioritize them. What we need is a reordering of our loves, of our passions, and that instead of obeying just whatever strong desire is going on inside of us, we want to obey righteousness and present ourselves before God as people who can walk out what it means to be love. So freedom is the ability to say yes to those desires that align with God's character. Now, you might be here saying, all right, Devin, sounds really nice. That's impossible. You ever tried to just like, you ever read like Galatians and it's like the fruit of the Spirit? It's like the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Really impressed I got that. Thought I was gonna miss one. And you ever read that and you're like, that does not describe me. And then you're like, all right, this week, I'm gonna be more gentle. And you try really hard to be more gentle. And you might be more gentle in a moment. You might. But it's the unguarded moments where you aren't paying attention, where your willpower doesn't necessarily help. See, there's a limit to our willpower. I can try to be more gentle and caring for people, but I don't necessarily feel that way. I can look more loving. I can look more generous. I can look more patient, but I can't necessarily be more patient. So what do? If willpower runs out, and it's got a limit, because here's the thing, all of us have a limited resource of willpower. It's a documented thing. But what happens is in our unguarded moments, like when my coworker was trying to help me and somehow my inner wounded child came out and reacted. In the unguarded moments, willpower is not very helpful. And our second goal of discipleship, does anybody remember what it was? What was the second goal? I said it earlier. Shout it out. It's okay. 10 a.m. No, second goal, be with Jesus. Be like Jesus. I didn't hear it. I didn't see it, but awesome. Let's go. We're both wearing tan. I think that's what it was. We want to become people who obey love, that embody the character of Jesus. But this is a real tension in us. And the passage I'm about to read, some people debate whether it's about believers or unbelievers. I would argue today that it's for believers. And it is an encouraging word. This is Paul in Romans 7. And if you have questions, we can talk about it at the Connect Center. But this is what the passage says. It's a bit of a tongue twister. For I do not understand what I am doing because I do not practice what I want to do, but I do what I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, I agree with the law that it is good. So now I am no longer the one doing it, but it is the sin living in me. For I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my flesh. For the desire to do what is good is with me, but there is no ability to do it. For I do not do the good that I want to do, but I practice the evil that I do not want to do. And then jumping ahead to verse 24, what a wretched man that I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. If I'm honest, that is a prayer for me many days. Because I see at war within me, and maybe you do too, this desire to do good, but this inability to carry it out. And yet we do not want to give ourselves into sin, and yet it's the strongest thing in us. It's an impulse. But we recognize, man, Jesus said, be holy as I am holy. So how do I do this? What is this tension? What is the solve? How do I become free? And is there something that I can do about this? I think we need two things. I think one, if you look at the text, we need a power beyond ourselves. Thanks be to God, our Lord Jesus Christ. And two, this is kind of hidden in there. We need practical ways to walk this out. Paul says in this passage twice, practice. Practice. The title of today's sermon is Be Practicing. We've been in the B series, and the title is Be Practicing. Because one, is anyone in the room perfect? Just let us all know so we can. No. We are imperfect people practicing the way of Jesus with whatever ability we have today. And so the big idea today, there's one point to write down, one thing. It's this quote from Richard Foster. He says this, we become like Jesus through training, not trying. We become like Jesus through training and not trying. I'm a basketball player, so I'm gonna use these references a lot, all right? It's gonna be fun. You don't get anywhere in life by trying harder. First time I played basketball, I couldn't go out there and just try super hard. Nerves and muscles and my body wasn't trained to move the way is necessary to be successful on a basketball court. It's the same way with playing the violin like my mom. It's the same way with anyone who wanted to get up today and run a marathon like Comer mentions. If you can get up today and run 26.2 miles, shout out to you. Not that guy, not most of us. How do you run a marathon? How do you play violin? How do you get better at public speaking? Shout it out. Training! Praise God. All right, 10 a.m., let's go. I love it, I love it. You guys are engaged. Training, one step after the other. And the first step is probably what? Put your shoes on. Tie your laces. But try harder doesn't work. But oftentimes as Christians, we try harder at being like Jesus. Be more loving. What? Where else does that work in your life? Training enables you to become the kind of person that can run 26.2 miles. Your body has to change. The composition of your cells and your lungs and your ability to pump blood through your body has to change. You have to become the kind of person that can do that. In the same way, when we practice the way of Jesus, and I don't mean moral performance, and we'll touch on this in a second. When we practice the way of Jesus, we become the sort of people that are sensitive to God's presence and become an open channel for his presence in the world. We become the sort of people that can do what Jesus did. But the only way to do that is, one, again, be with Jesus, abide. Second, your body and your soul and your spirit has to change. You have to become like Jesus. We spend a lot of time here talking about truth and story. What is the story that you and I believe about ourselves, about God, and about the world? It's very important. You've maybe heard us say here before, you become what you behold, or you become what you think about. For those of you who have read Brother Lawrence, You become, if you practice the presence of God, you'll become like God, right? Practicing the presence. That's good language. It's a great book. It's about 80 pages. It's really short. But here's the thing. Story might be the truth you believe, but your habits are the truth you embody. Story is the truth you believe, but your habits are the truth you embody. You can say God loves me, and yet if your mind is constantly thinking about how you can perform more so that other people will accept you, that's a habit. And your habits form who you are. Most psychologists tell us today that we are very little more than the summation of our habits. In the business world, because I come from that, prior to being here in vocational ministry at City Life, we would say this: your system is perfectly designed for the results you're gonna get. Are you happy with your results? Are you satisfied? Are you experiencing life and life to the full that Jesus has on offer? We will become what we continually practice. You guys ever heard the analogy of the two wolves? You ever heard that one before? Pretty popular one, right? And it's true for a lot of things. It's true for so much. But essentially, it goes like this. There's two wolves inside of you. There's a good wolf and there's a bad wolf. And they're fighting all the time, every day, forever. Which one's gonna win? The one you feed. Amen. Amen. The one you feed. When Paul talks about practice in Romans 6, there's a way of sowing to the Spirit is what the language uses, or practicing the way of love, following Jesus, his way of life. You see, the truth of Jesus gets emphasized, but the way of Jesus gets underemphasized. We talk so much about teaching, but very little about behavior and habits. But the money, the change, begins with story, but we receive life through the way, through the habits of Jesus. And you might be here today saying, Devin, I thought it was all grace. Grace of God, he's gonna zap me, he's gonna heal me, he's gonna make me new. Tetelestai, it is finished. Amen. That's very true. But what begins in grace must be continued through our habits and our practices. Paul puts it like this in 1 Corinthians. For I am the least of the apostles, not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul was saved purely by unmerited favor of God, that he loved Paul, chased after Paul, and called Paul home into his family, which is the same for you and I. There's nothing you can do to earn it or lose it. God's favor is for you. He loves you, and he wants you to be a part of his family. Amen. The grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, though, love Paul, I worked harder than any of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. You and I receive grace in the story we believe about Jesus. And then on the other hand, we walk out that grace through the practices, through the way and the lifestyle of Jesus. They are means of becoming, but they're all empowered by God's favor towards us. God was running to you far before you were ever running to him. Far before. And yet the way we receive that grace is through our practices, our habits. So jumping back to the story I started earlier, praise God, maybe you picked up, I didn't quit ministry, still here. But I had to take a step back and take a break for about a year, because one, you only lead and minister out of who you are. And that's what Jesus did. It wasn't a performance. Jesus actually was transformed. He was a fully alive, free human being. And I went to a Christian counselor at the time, and a dear friend who loved Jesus, a saint really, 60 years in the faith. And he had to tell Devin this, and I don't know if this is a word for you. There might be a different phrase for you, but he had to tell me this. He said, Devin, Christianity is not a self-improvement project. You're already on the team. The analogy he used for me was, he said, you're an MSU Spartan. You've already been given the jersey. Now you get to live like it. Ohio State fans, you get an Ohio State jersey. Because they just sighed. Michigan fans, wait, you belong here. Michigan jersey. My mother is cringing. Me too. Remember, ministers, lay down your preferences. This is not self-help with a Christian label. Lots of people have healthy practices, mindfulness, silence and solitude, all those things. Beautiful things, do them, they're good for you. But it begins in grace first. We have a story. Christ Jesus died for you and I. And then we get to live that out, what it means to be a Spartan. You get a Spartan jersey, you train like a Spartan, you live like a Spartan, you move into the Spartan dorms. You eat what they eat, you lift what they lift, you go where they go, film sessions, the whole nine yards, right? And you become one over time. Maybe not immediately, but over a long period of time. For me, that season looked like a few things. I'm a recovering control freak, if you know anyone who's known me for 3 seconds, and they would tell you the same. What did Devin need in that season? Well, there was a practice for me that I want to invite everyone into, and we'll get to more of them in a second. But for me, learning to let go and surrender is one of the difficulties of my personality type. And so for me, silence and solitude was a practice. Here's the truth. Is letting go, just letting go of people's offenses of me, is letting go of my desires for my life, is that easy? Is that possible? I'll be honest, in that season, no, it wasn't. And so the practice that Lee led me into, my counselor, and through Comer and through some other guys, Richard Foster, learning silence and solitude was a way of letting go of control. Through direct effort, I can't let go of things. Through direct effort, I can't necessarily be love right now. But through indirect effort, through training my soul to slow down, to just sit and wait, which is hard as a mug if you've tried it for 30 seconds. Guys, I still do this sometimes. Sit down and try to be silent. And it's like 30 seconds in, you're like, yes, Lord, try and be in your presence. And you start flinching because you're like, I got to move. I got to go. Still happens. This is like 7 years in, y'all. I'm so for real, right? And then other moments, I'm like 2 hours, and I'm just like, yes, Lord, I'm in your presence. But most days, it looks like sitting still and saying, God, you're in control. I am not. I live in God's good world. Devin doesn't need to be in control. I have nothing to prove and nothing to earn. Tetelestai, it is finished. Oh, yeah, and I got that work to do, and I don't like what they said about me, and tetelestai, it is finished. You're not in control. It's a beautiful thing. And for me, that practice looked like, one, being in silence, letting go of control. And then, two, it looked like sitting and looking at my shame or the things I'm embarrassed about in God's presence and realizing he wasn't rejecting me. He wasn't embarrassed by me. And he's not embarrassed of you, and he's not embarrassed of us. And that practice over time, slowly but surely, helped free me from the compulsion to control people and environments. And I'm still a rookie like you guys, still learning. We're all rookies, white belt mode. Because again, remember, it's practice, not perfection. It's direction, not performance. We're following Jesus. We're not trying to be Jesus. But as we train, as we practice, we become like him. That's his promise to us. He will finish the work. And you might need the opposite here too. Like, to be honest, like, silence might not be the thing for you. That maybe that was what my personality type needed. You might need to just go serve. That might be the practice for you. Or maybe worship, or maybe fasting. A lot of this is based on your season of life. Like I said, I'm not a mom with like 2 newborns. I get to sleep in. This is great. And maybe for you, it's not 2 hours. Maybe it's 2 minutes. What can you start with today? What does the practice look like? What does it mean to just put on your shoes? Maybe socks first, and then shoes. Definitely socks. See, the disciplines are a way, and we'll talk about them briefly here in a second, to the practicals, for those of you asking, how do I actually do this? But the disciplines are any activity that we do through indirect effort that will enable us to do more later. It's getting in the weight room. You might be able to lift 45 pounds now, but pretty soon, over 6 months, a year, you might be able to lift more. We become the type of people that can do what Jesus did. We become an open channel for God's presence in the world. And so the disciplines really are, like I said before, lots of people do silence and solitude. Lots of people do fasting. They're all amazing things. They're healthy for you too, right? God's gifts are like, they're good gifts. But for the Christian, for the follower of Jesus, the disciplines are a way to access power beyond us. They're a way we present ourselves to God, like Paul said in Romans 6. We present ourselves to God so that he can do the healing change and work inside of us. This is not self-help. This is not self-improvement project. This is not make me nicer job. That's not what this is. This is, Jesus, I'm still frustrated about that I don't get to do that project from 3 weeks ago, and I haven't brought it up to anybody. Please, Lord, would you free me so that I can know that I am loved? And we come again and again. We practice the presence of God so that we can be changed and transformed and healed from the inside out. And the very practical way to do this is simple. You got to have a game plan. We have goals and game plans for every part of your life, for money, for jobs, for school, for food, for all kinds of things. And yet sometimes we think, well, it's just, Holy Spirit, zap me and I'm better. Done. Microwave. But it's actually going to cost us the reordering of our lives. Jesus is not merely a truth to believe, but a way to follow, a way of living, a way of moving in the world. If you're familiar with the language of rule of life, it's really just this idea, something that orders your life. Principles, ways of being. Those three goals are really simple. Again, be with Jesus, become like Jesus, do what Jesus did. There's no right way to do it based on personality and season and temperament and all those things. And we're not going to get into like the very practicals of how to build a rule of life and what does that mean. That's another teaching for another day. But if you want a resource, John Mark Comer and his team have put something together called the Rule of Life Builder. And this helps you build habits and rhythms of whether fasting, silence and solitude, celebration, community, eating, sleep, all those things are so important for following Jesus. You cannot experience the presence of God practically and not feel it because you didn't sleep last night. It's a real thing. But you can go here on the website and you'll need to create an account and log in. If you have any issues with that, you can reach out to us. But the Rule of Life Builder is just a step. But today, I don't want you to feel the pressure to say, I got to add more things. Oftentimes, it looks like doing less. And saying, man, I just want to be with Jesus. What's one way I can do that practically each day so that I become like him and I can do what he did? And maybe just an encouragement. This is not a straight line. This is not up and to the right. This is not exponential growth. This will feel a lot of times like circling the same things again, but with a new spirit and a new heart. And Jesus bringing you back to those moments again. But you'll find you're more free the next time. And to quote a Michigan coach, again, to the, you know, frustration of some people in the room, those who stay will be champions. Staying. Make yourself at home in God's presence. Be with Jesus and then put some practical steps in place to do that. And if you stay, Jesus doesn't need anything else from you. If you stay, you will win. That is the promise. I want to read Psalm 1 because Psalm 1 is what it looks like. We're only going to read the first half. And it says this, how happy is the one who does not walk in the advice of the wicked or stand in the pathway with sinners or sit in the company of mockers. Instead, here's the practices. His delight is in the Lord's instruction and he meditates on it day and night. He is like a tree planted by flowing streams that bears its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. My prayer is that we would prosper as we practice the way. Jesus, I thank you for every person in this room who may feel overwhelmed today, that somehow it's, how do we sort ourselves out, God? I pray that we don't feel the need to fix ourselves today. And you're not trying to fix us, but simply love us and call us into life. So I pray for each person that they would get the example of what does it mean for me to tie my shoes or put my socks on? What does it mean for me to begin training to run a marathon that you've called us to? God, I pray today your Holy Spirit would speak to us, not just in the, man, revelation is good, story teaching is good, but I pray, God, we would receive practical advice. What does this look like on Monday morning? We can have an everyday kind of love and an everyday kind of faith that changes us from the inside out so we can be with you, become like you, and do what you did in the world. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace and for your kindness. Praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the City Life Lansing podcast, loving you and loving the city one life at a time. To get connected, learn more, and invest financially, go to citylifelansing.com. You belong here.